Robots Radio presents...
Rated M for Mature.
You're listening to the Download Weekly Gaming News, the show where we give you the DL on the latest in gaming every week in a small bite-size download. Stop it. You were out of control tonight, Mother Goose.
I am the control.
I am the sensible lion, Jameson.
He's the boring lion. I'm the fun goose.
Boring. That's rude.
Yeah.
That's rude.
You sit on the prairies and you yawn, and I hiss at people in parks.
Your life was boring until I arrived.
You know my life before.
I do. And then it became very boring, and then I showed up. Not spicy.
We can chill on the spice. I've had a lot of spice in my life.
Like that Indian food meme? The one I sent last week runs into the stall.
Yes, that is definitely it.
That's where you're at. Welcome back, everybody. My name's Jameson.
And I am Brianna.
And we're back with another episode. As a reminder, you can drop a review on our Spotify or a rating. Sorry. Give us those 5 stars if you listen on Spotify. And a reminder, the DL Gaming website is no longer up. We have transitioned over to Goose and Lion.
Oh, my. We're having struggle buses.
Oh, I ate that little, like, cheese and, you know, nut pack. You know, I was trying so hard to find a good way to word it. I can already do what you're gonna do to me.
You just could say snackables.
Yeah.
If you had to say cheese nut, a nut cheese, you had a nut cheese for a snack.
Stop it.
Cheese of the nut.
It's got salt on it, and so a grain of salt hit the back of my throat, and it made me cough.
How long ago did you?
Literally like 5 minutes ago when we got on.
The cheese of the nut hit the back of your throat and now you're coughing.
You know what? That's it for this week. So the gooseandlion.com is the new website. It's in the works. And then we're working on the Patreon and whatnot. Things have been crazy. So we're keeping on it. We'll keep you posted. Hang tight with us. For now. Yeah. So. First up, Dying Light 2 launched last week. And a reminder, I think Horizon Forbidden West launches this week if you're on the Sony game train. But Dying Light 2 launched on all systems, PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. And, you know, it's off to a pretty decent start, I would say.
Sure. I still have an upset feeling about the fact that there are over 1,000 fixes. Like, there's that many problems.
Yeah, so far, it's rocking a very positive, an 81% on Steam. That's very good. I think the 80s is a solid score. And then review-wise, across the board, Metacritic, it's rocking like high 70s, a lot of 7 and 8 out of 10s. So it seems like the game is very solid, but yeah, it's always concerning, and I hate how this is the new thing now, that they'll prepare the game, and then boom, they're already working on like a day one patch. And yes, they said that their day one patch included over 1,000 fixes.
First of all, obviously they go gold, right? And then they send it off all to get shipped. And so at that point, like, base is done, and they immediately start doing their patching work before it's even released.
Yeah, but then, you already know about these bugs, so why aren't you fixing them prior to release? That's what drives me nuts. I mean, technically they're fixing it prior to release, but I hate that when you download a game, it takes you like an hour, if you have really good internet, to download like a 30-something gigabyte game. I mean, not really good internet, but
yeah,
moderate internet. So, average internet. And then after that, you're suddenly hit with like a 3 to 5 gigabyte update.
Yeah, and it just tacks on an extra like 15 minutes, and that's irritating. But what pisses me off about this is the fact that they're touting this like it's something so great that they're fixing 1,000 issues as the game is launching. It's like, how are you spinning this as a positive? I mean, obviously good PR, but there's over 1,000 in fixing.
On one hand, it's great because they're fixing the problems. On the other hand, it's bad because there are that many problems. The reviews are pretty good. It's got good gameplay. It's got a lot of co-op. We're seeing, 7, 8 out of 10s generally. User score right now on Metacritic is 6, but Steam is showing an 81%. It's got good scores. I'm really, really wanting to play this game. I didn't play the first one. I love that this game has the more integrated co-op. I'm just a big fan of co-op. I wish we would see more co-op in games. But
it looks good. I think people are upset about the fact that there are so many bugs on launch, and that obviously they know about them. And I think that's probably part of the reason why people aren't giving it a better score, because everything else that I've seen and heard is like, it's fun, it's pretty, the mechanics are good, it's Dying Light.
Yeah, and I will say some of the other issues seem to be the story just isn't as strong as it could have been, but you have just a massive game, like content-wise. The other thing I see is that it's a good sequel to the original Dying Light, builds upon some of the things they started, and then brings in some new things. So
you know what, if this is the start of the Dying Light series becoming more popular, or at least more frequent, this is a good back entrance, because it, what, like 7 years ago Dying Light came out? It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
I think I had it on PlayStation 3.
No, it's not that old. It was like, I want to say it's like 5 years old. 2015. So it was six and some change.
Yeah, I said 7.
7 years. January 27th.
There
years.
There we go.
When did PS4 launch?
Oh, I thought not the PS4 2015.
I think it launched 2016, right?
Yeah.
No, it launched 20.
What?
Hold on.
Meltdown? Brain meltdown?
Not. I typed in PS4 launched in 2013.
Okay. And Dying Light launched when? Yeah,
that's right. 2015.
Okay. So.
That was a long time for PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
7 years. That was a long life cycle.
I mean, they're usually about 7 years ish. 5 to 7.
It was 5 for
PlayStation 3.
Yeah. And Xbox.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 4 for PlayStation 3. PlayStation 3 was a very short cycle.
Was it? I could have. I don't know.
PlayStation 3 released after Xbox 360, and then PlayStation 4 released before Xbox One.
I don't even remember. Either way.
So, I can see. Let's see. PS3 release date.
Look at this, kids. Googling. Learn to do it.
2016. Well, 7 years then.
5 to 7 years every time.
Oh, way shorter than that.
No, huh? Holy crap, I'm right, like, twice in a row. The world's gonna implode.
PS3 was garbage, though. That was a...
I love it. I don't care what you say, I love it.
It was a garbage time for Sony.
I do not care what you say. There are some good games that existed on PlayStation.
Oh, no, sure. I'm just talking about the system itself was garbage.
I also don't care. It can't be warm, all right?
They did very well going from PS3 to PS4, but it was a bit of a dip. And then Xbox took a fat dump with the Xbox One. They got cocky. They took an extended dip.
Extended dump.
Yeah. Yeah. Rockstar Games has also decided to officially confirm what we've all known for many years now, is that GTA 6 is in development. We've known this for a while.
Haven't they even released like maps? Like they've shown the map.
They've hinted at some things, and there was a like a weird picture that could be a potential map that was in like GTA 5 or something. But bottom line is they decided to officially say that GTA 6 is, and I quote, well underway, which we already knew. They'd been working on it for years. It's just nice of them to finally tell us that it's coming out.
It'll be cool because it's supposed to be huge. Like it should be like 2 hours real time.
It's supposed to be huge. And then with the success of GTA 5 online, that was why they waited so long, why they kept doing things for that, because it was so successful before, like, you know, pushing out GTA 6 sooner. And so they're going to double down on GTA online with GTA 6, and they're going to put more into it. So they're saying like the GTA is going to have like almost how Fortnite does it, where they have seasons and the map evolves, the world changes. They're going to do something like that, that as they release updates for the game, it will, you know, the world will adapt and evolve and change.
It can go only one of two ways. Either it's absolutely amazing and everyone loves it and it's an improvement upon GTA 5, or they try and do too much, it's corny, everyone hates it, and no one plays it, and they still play GTA 5.
I think, yeah. I mean, Rockstar has traditionally hit it out of the park with the GTA franchise. Like, that's their bread and butter. They definitely can't afford a bad GTA game. But yeah, if they even just made it just like GTA 5, it would be a phenomenal game. GTA 5 was rock solid.
Yeah.
So I'm not like as concerned as this one. Red Dead 2 online though was
garbage.
Yeah. But then again, Red Dead was never about the online. I don't know how they effed that one up, because
I mean, it wasn't a great setup. Like, there was bugs, everything was kind of messed up, but also that game doesn't really bode well for online.
Yeah. Yeah. In other news, we've been saying it in the beginning, F EA, F Google Stadia. Well, the time has finally come. Google is shutting down Google Stadia, and they're trying to do whatever they can to salvage some value out of it. They've stopped all development on it. They are consolidating the teams down into just basic maintenance mode, and they are looking to sell it. They're trying to... The random names, they're rebranding it as Google Stream, and they are shopping it with Peloton, Bungie, and Netflix, which doesn't make any sense to me. Like got that info, like why would they sell to Peloton? What is Peloton going to do that? Also, now Peloton is about to be bought by Amazon. Amazon has their own streaming service, Amazon Luna, way better than Stadia. Second, what is Bungie going to do with it?
Bungie just got bought. Like, what in the world?
Yeah, and who's going to, like, no one wants to pay for that hardware, because you have to rely on Google for that hardware. And it's trash. So, no, Bungie's not going to take that. That's not in it for Bungie. I could see Sony.
Nah.
No, because they're not going to, because we know that they're working on their own Spartacus.
Yes.
What if they already have is Google Stadia integrated into?
No, they won't do that. They already have their own hardware. There's no way that they need to take that crap.
Exactly.
They have everything that they could need already.
Netflix, I could see Netflix, but again, Netflix already has their own built-in system. They don't have
a gaming streaming system though.
They're about to release it, though. They're releasing it this year. They're starting it. And well, then, Netflix would just partner with someone to make controller support.
Yeah, see, I don't know. where Stadia is saying this, because none of those companies make any sense. I feel like they're just throwing names out.
Yeah, I feel like there was just wild speculation by the media, which, you know, who would have thought that the media wildly speculates?
Oh, wow.
But moving into some of the other big news, or the other news, Discord, the greatest voice and chat software out there in the world since we were stuck
forever.
With Skype forever. It is now available on PlayStation. You can add it on your PlayStation, chat with your, link your PSN, and chat with your friends everywhere. Glorious. Love
Thank
to
you.
See it.
Thank you, Xbox, get on board.
I think Xbox.
It is. Is it not?
No, it's not yet.
It looks like it's already in the works, though.
You can the link show- your... You can link your Xbox. You've been able to link your Xbox account for a while to Discord because Discord did a couple partnerships with Xbox with like Games Pass and, you know, because Xbox is also on PC. So that's why you could link it there too. So it would show you. But it is not like you can't use
audio
Discord.
Capable.
Yeah. On Xbox yet. So, but it's only a matter of time before it rolls out, to be completely honest. And Discord will be just all the better for it. It'll be a stronger unifying force among all gamers. We just need Discord to let us get better servers.
The man is on a tirade about servers.
They're good, but they're also asshole at the same time.
They're the best of what we got, but it's not great.
They're better than other things. It could be worse, is the truth. Kind of capping on to Sony's purchase of Bungie is that they are looking, you know, at Destiny's future and Bungie's future now that they have been acquired. So, you know, they're looking at, you know, maybe taking the Destiny franchise into new forms of media, such as movies and television shows, which Sony has, you know,
a lot.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so here's the thing. This could be really cool because I think there's not enough story behind Destiny. And if they make a TV series or like, yeah, they need to do a TV series. If they make a TV series of Destiny and they add story into it while they're developing the game and they use the characters, you know what I mean? It will create a world that is missing from Destiny.
I think that Destiny does have a decent story and it does have a lot of lore and stuff built into the game because it's Bungie and they're very good at that. But I definitely think that the game itself, like the story is kind of light, that there is a lot of room in there for them to create a TV show, to create a or a movie and to tell a good story, a good narrative. One that everyone's already been clamoring about is they love to see Cade Six, who is voiced by Nathan Fillion. He's been kind of the front character for Destiny 2, the Exo. People are calling for his own TV show, which I think would be great. And I personally love Nathan Fillion, so I would not say no to that. But yeah, and they're looking at, you know, what else Bungie can bring to the table. And it sounds like they're going to have Bungie develop a first person shooter for Sony,
which is great. They need it. I mean, along with Dying Light, along with Destiny continuing as a franchise, because I mean, it needs to continue. It's got a lot of following. But other than that, yeah, they need another standalone title that's a first-person shooter.
Well, and it would be a great competitor to Halo, which is a Microsoft PC exclusive, and it would also be a great competitor to Call of Duty. We need better
Call of Duty.
We need better shooters.
I agree with that. I don't think that anything will compete with Halo. That's too big of a dynasty.
Well, sure, it is a big franchise, but I mean, like, that's what I mean is, like, they need a exclusive shooter. That's yes. What they're missing from their repertoire.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if Bungie could build something that's not Halo.
I would love to see Bungie build a competitive shooter that takes over the market.
That could be cool. That could be cool.
Like a new good one, because we don't have any. Like Rainbow Six is so old.
Rainbow Six has fallen out. Valorant is
trash.
It's kind of like, it definitely did not take off like Riot Games wanted to. And then CSGO has been around too long.
Old.
Overwatch
is too funky. There's too many like gadgets and things involved. It's a good game, but it reminds me of Smash Bros, but integrated with a first person shooter.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
We definitely need a new FPS game, but I just don't know if they could make it not Halo. Because I mean, even if you look at Destiny is just Halo with some extra stuff.
It's a little bit more reformed, but yeah, it is very Halo-ish. If you stood things side by side and like made the like color formatting the same, like the filters, you probably would have a hard time, you know.
I mean, even the characters look Spartan-ish.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I would love.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I would love to see a brand new super competitive shooter.
It would be super cool. I'd love to see two games from them. I'd love to see a like single player RPG shooter. And I'd love to see, a more competitive based one, which would be fun because it would be on all three platforms. So it'd be it could really take off.
Yeah. We just need a new one. FPS is starting to kind of fall. I think since the rise of like battle royales, FPS is just dropped.
It got oversaturated with the battle royales, and then the other FPS. Well, and the other FPS titles have just grown complacent.
I think the issue is that everyone, instead of making like real competitive first person shooters, they're making battle royales instead, and everyone's focusing on that hype. And so there's nothing in the works for it, like a single, you know, multiplayer game of just like team deathmatch.
Yeah, I definitely think that. If Bungie was to make a competitive FPS, it needs to be something probably like a cross between Valorant and Rainbow Six Siege, that you need that some sort of uniqueness to it, but then have that solid, you know, game, that solid gunplay, that solid gameplay. But then if it's, you know, it's got to also allow for people to play on all systems pretty evenly. Like PC will always play shooters better. But there's little things you can do to help with console.
I mean, they could definitely do like a futuristic, you like are on planets, like a planet, like a space first person shooter.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's ways out there, but yeah, it does need to be solidly developed for it to.
Like, could you imagine like? Okay, could you imagine like a Battlefield, like a 60v60 on the moon with like fighters, TIE fighters above you?
I mean, that would just be like them making a new Halo / Battlefront, which I would not be opposed to either.
Right? It could be cool.
We'll be interesting to see what the future of Bungie holds. This past week, though, Warner Brothers confirmed that the Suicide Squad game, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, has been delayed until next year. This comes just after that they said Gotham Knights and Hogwarts Legacy are confirmed for 2022. But in all honesty to me, those two games were already in doubt as is. And so now that they've already announced one is delayed, I think it's only a matter of time before the other two get pushed back to next year. But it would also be as solid.
I'm thinking that maybe the reason that this one got pushed back is because the others are being worked on and are going to get released. Like they've made all the efforts to put those out because they've been saying that they're going to put those out for longer.
Maybe. I would have more doubt on Gotham Knights. Hogwarts Legacy has been close to release a couple times now and they've pushed it back already. So I feel like they're pretty tied in for this year.
I'm going to lose my mind. I need it to come out. I need it to also be R-rated. I do not want it to be a goody two-shoes game.
I'm a big fan of bringing back the more intense games and movies. I've been very disappointed with the direction that a lot of things have headed, being more like family friendly and everyone friendly. Yeah. And where it was most noticeable was the Star Wars franchise once Disney took over. Yeah. Like, you can definitely see that they've removed the violence from it. Yes, like, people still kill each other, things still happen, but they removed, like, a lot of the, like, more serious blaster shots and explosions, and then anything involving a lightsaber now is just superficial cuts rather than removing limbs and other things like they have in previous. They've just toned it down.
Which, I mean, obviously being acquired by Disney, which is like a family company. Jesus. And so, I mean, it's obviously to be seen that was like the seal of fate on the Star Wars series.
Yeah, but I don't like to see it in my Star Wars games. Like, if you're going to try and drive a more serious game, you need to give me the seriousness and the graphics and the gameplay. I don't want to be...
The seal of fate, my friend. Disney owns that title.
I know. But that's the thing, as I'm saying, is that there's been a lot of talk about them pushing a more serious Star Wars game, but they've dropped a couple of those projects. And so, you know, if they want to do that route, they need to do it. They need to be all in on it.
Wasn't The Mandalorian more gritty?
No.
Yeah, I think it's never going to happen.
Mandalorian was just westernish.
Got it.
But it wasn't as like happy-go-lucky as the recent movies were. It was more on point with what it should be. The only movie that was a bit more gritty was Rogue One.
And right. That was the beginning of the end.
It was like the second movie they made.
Yeah.
So it was before things got real bad.
Yeah.
But even that is still not like, you know, it could be grittier.
Yeah.
So I would just love to see a very dark Star Wars game. I think that would be incredibly exciting as a player and a lover of Star Wars pop culture.
I love how, like, the Harry Potter series went from super sweet to like, oh my God, this is horrendous. Like, this is almost hard to watch. Like, there is serious stuff happening because as we grew up, we matured, and it was like the perfect maturity level for everyone, you know, as you were growing up. And I freaking love how they did that. So.
And Star Wars has always tried to appeal to a lot of people, but it would be nice to see them, you know, cover that. And I think there's plenty of opportunities and topics within the genre for them to do that. But that's a tangent we don't need to dive any more into.
I was going to say, we already kind of did.
Yeah. EA had a investor call last week, and they did not mention Battlefield 2042 at all during the call. But shortly afterwards, the EA CEO Andrew Wilson did acknowledge that Battlefield 2042 fell far below expectations, and that it's just underperformed and undersold. So they said, you know, they're still touting that they believe the game was ready for players. Obviously it wasn't. I don't know who you had testing that shit, but that was ready for nobody. And they say that they launched with strong stability, but then as more players experienced the game, more performance issues appeared up. It wasn't even that many people that got into the game before we were running into issues. The issues were very prevalent the entire time. And then, you know, they said some of their design choices did not resonate with the community. A lot of your design choices did not resonate.
They were having issues during the beta. And that was like an applied. You had to like, anyways.
I'm just tired of the tone deafness of some of these studios. You know, one basic thing that people have been asking for in Battlefield games since Battlefield 4, server browser. Bring back the server browser. You took it out. You took out our ability to pick our own games, to pick servers that have people. We want that back. Bring it back. They have not. They got rid of Rush. People are like, what the F? There are two game modes. that are Battlefield game modes. They are Rush and they are Conquest. It does not have those games modes. It's not Battlefield. That is just what Battlefield has become. And you added it in after people were upset as a timed game mode that went away. Tone deaf.
Spit on my wounds and rub it in.
Tone deaf. And so now you're paying the price by making it go free to play. But in all honesty, you've lost a lot of trust in your audience multiple times now. Like Battlefield 2, like even, you know, it took years for Battlefield 2 to get anything back going with that game. And then right as it started to get a player base again, they announced that Battlefield 2 was ending, all production was ending on it, and they were shutting it down. And then this game was supposed to be the Battlefield that takes us back to what we loved about Battlefield in 3 and 4 and Bad Company 2, and you couldn't even do that.
It's bad. It's real bad.
So, I think EA is in trouble. I think
they've been in trouble.
They've been in trouble, but I honestly think EA is a couple years away from an acquisition. Someone's going to pick them up. It won't be Microsoft. I think it will be Disney or Sony. I can see Disney getting back into the video games, picking up EA, but I could also see Sony picking up all those sports and racing games and a new shooter or shooter series under their belt.
Big and acquire.
Make Mass Effect and Dragon Age PlayStation exclusives.
Sony can get their hands on Dragon Age. I would love that.
I think that's the move for Sony. If they're going to make an acquisition, it has to be Ubisoft or EA.
EA all the way.
And I think, yeah, and I agree. I think EA has a larger, more diverse set of IPs that they can bring in that's more core with Sony. While I still think Sony could do a lot with Ubisoft, though.
No, I don't know about that. I think that's a Microsoft buy.
Hear me out, though. Ubisoft, you got Steep, you got Just Dance, you got a bunch of games like that. Those are all great games for VR. There's some VR potential right there. But you can also make them normally. Assassin's Creed, you could revamp that franchise as PlayStation exclusive. That's not a bad idea there. You know, Ghost Recon needs some love. Far Cry needs a revamp. And like, you could part, like, Far Cry, I think, has so much potential, and they've gotten into this rut of doing, you know, crazy evil guy versus you. And they've done it for like four games in a row. And I think
development in it either. Yeah. It's just like,
it's the outlandish. Same thing. Yes, exactly.
It can be the same thing, but it needs to be a good story.
Yes, and I think that Sony has so many other studios that they could bring in to help, like, revamp Far Cry. Like a Naughty Dog helping with that.
Yeah, I think the issue with Far Cry is, like, Far Cry 3 was obviously the best one. And it was because you were, like, really connected with the people that you lost. And they just didn't capture that.
Far Cry 3 was good. It had a good story. It's still the crazy guy, but it was good. But then they kept using that same formula.
Well, no, they did Primal next.
Horrendous. Yeah. But then Far Cry 4 was almost exactly the same. Far Cry 5 was almost exactly the same. Far Cry 6 was almost exactly the same.
Man, there's been so many games since I played Far Cry 3. That's crazy.
Yeah. So,
anyways,
yeah, but I also think Ghost Recon.
All these I hear are Xbox. They're all Xbox games
because they all used to be Xbox games. Because Sony wasn't about first person shooters or online platforms.
I'm okay.
Xbox was about that.
Yeah, I'm okay with like Sony cornering the market on like RPGs and like maybe having one or two really good competitive shooters. And then having Xbox corner the market on first-person shooters and that type of a game. Maybe having one or two RPG titles. Like, honestly, I think that's a good split. I don't know. If everyone would not make everything exclusive, That would be fantastic.
That would.
Because then you would be like, hey, buddy, why don't we do this? Why don't we give the players what they want? You guys can focus on these genres and we can focus on these genres. And then everyone in the community will get like the best of everything and we'll all be happy.
Not bad. It's good that Ubisoft has slowed down Assassin's Creed and they're spreading that out more. It's improved, but I think Ubisoft is approaching at a point with Assassin's Creed where they're going to run out of stuff to do.
They've already run out of shit to do.
I think so too.
Floundering for random things to do. And you can see that with the most recent because it's so much more mythical and it's not as much like historic as it normally is because they have just straight run out of eras and places.
I think the next step for them is to do a 4K remaster, a remake
of the Brotherhood.
Yeah, the Ezio series.
Yeah.
Do a remake. Bring that all into
the new generations.
Yeah. Give it that sheen, and then you can update some of the things that need updating, but keeping it classic, like there's a lot of room for there.
They can redo the online because that was horrible. Yeah.
I think personally they're going to do it at some point. They just keep effing around. But there is going to be an Assassin's Creed game in Asia.
I don't know. Not with Ghosts coming out.
Ghosts
of Tsushima?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Is like, I think Assassin's Creed has always been very ninja-like. So sure. It's been, ever since the beginning, people have been calling for a feudal Japan Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. I just don't see them doing it now with that release.
I can still see them doing it.
Should have done it years ago. Like, why would they go to Egypt and not do?
Oh, like, that's what I was saying, is they introduced so many things about the Brotherhood and the Ezio games and building that up. Like, feudal Japan is an easy way to do that. You're a daimyo of a clan who also is a assassin. So you spend, you know, your whole time building up the Brotherhood / your clan, you know, doing all that stuff, your estate. Like, they had all of that in. But I think they've also brought some of that into Valhalla with us. Anyway.
I mean, they could have done China. It's like one of the oldest civilizations ever. Like, why wouldn't you start at the origin of civilization?
I mean, that would be Egypt.
Whatever, but they didn't. I said one of the.
Yeah, but that is technically kind of where they started with the first Assassin's Creed taking place in the Middle East, you know, the cradle of the world, Jerusalem and all that kind of stuff, where, you know, that is, you know, Mesopotamia. Like, these are some of the oldest known civilized parts of the world. So that's where it kind of, and it was very religiously divisive. But yeah, I would love to see them. They need to do something about that. And then Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon. Ghost Recon, they're pissing that series down.
They're just not doing anything new. It's like, oh, great, here's another release.
And they're
not
doing anything fun. Like, it's...
I'm so over all these, like, new...
Take us back on... Like, I hate that they're trying to, like, do all these fancy things with shooters. It's like, no. People want to play old Ghost Recon and old Rainbow Six. We want slow. We want tactical. We want PvE. That's all we want. They have failed to bring that with any recent Ghost Recon and Ubisoft game. Ghost Recon games are virtually a twist on Far Cry.
It really is like a more open,
it's just modernized, a more tactical Far Cry.
It's a more modernized, like, there's more civilization in Ghost Recon than there are in Far Cry because you're on some random remote area.
Yeah, here and there, yeah. But then Rainbow Six, like, Rainbow Six Siege was great, but that's not what people wanted from Rainbow Six. People want Vegas 2. They want that back.
Oh, and so, yeah.
But it is nice to see them that they're bringing back Splinter Cell. That's a smart move. But that's another long tangent, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing a remake of one of the original Splinter Cells.
We'll see. Right? I mean, people have botched that stuff.
I know. I don't know how they can botch this one. It shouldn't be, like, in all honesty, like, I don't know how they botched so many of these.
Okay. When they did the remake of GTA, Like, what?
So we need to differentiate remake versus remaster. GTA Trilogy, that was a remaster. Bad.
Horrifyingly.
Warcraft 3, that was a remaster. Bad. Resident Evil 2, that was a remake. Good.
Good.
Resident Evil 3, that was also a remake. Okay. Not the best. So that's the major differentiator is it needs a remake and it needs to be solid.
Yeah.
But it needs to lean more towards remaster as well. Because they need to keep that core stuff. Because they got rid of so many things as the Splinter. Ubisoft just keeps simplifying their games. And it's driving more of their players away. Like, now that you think about it. Anyway. One of our favorite gaming personalities is now gaming employee. Because she works for Sony Santa Monica. She will be the host of GDC 2020, Alana Pierce. Super cool that she will be doing that. She's a pretty chill
you could just stop Aussie it pretty
chick. Yes, she's Australian too. She's got an accent, Brenna.
You puede.
So she's super nice. Stoked to see her hosting the Game Developers Conference this year, which will probably be all online. Nintendo Switch has surpassed, as of December 31st, over 100 million units sold. It has reached the 100 million milestone faster than the PS4 and the Wii. The DS beat out both of those.
Wow, that's insane.
Or all of those. And then the Switch has also surpassed the Wii and the PlayStation 1 in lifetime sales. Pretty dang awesome. So the Switch OG has sold almost 82 million units. The Switch Lite has sold almost 18 million units. And then the Switch OLED, which is brand new, has sold almost 4 million units.
Crazy.
It's a great platform.
You know, what's kind of, I know that Japan is like a speck compared to the US. So that actually kind of makes us more impressive, because about like 40 million units sold are in the US and about 24 million units sold are in Japan, which is like over half of their units sold is in Japan, and it is like a speck compared to the size of the US.
What is the population of Japan?
Territory wise, like they are stacked on top of, you know what I mean? They are like literally jammed in there. But even still, I'm sure that it's a lot. Ours is like something.
Japan is 125 million people.
I think we are like 700 and something.
California is 40 million. The United States as a whole, I think, is 300 million.
I thought it was more than that. Probably not.
330 million, United States. So we're three times the size of Japan, but yeah, that's a lot of units sold for
that's insane. We are three times the size of population, but like landmass size to size.
Yeah, they're like the West Coast of the US. That's like what they are, like California to Washington.
I'm going to lose it. I feel like I need to look this up. Continue.
We've also now kind of pretty much confirmed what the Lord of the Rings TV series for Amazon Prime that will debut September 2nd this year. What's up?
The United States is about 26 times bigger than Japan.
The United States is very big.
Yes. But I mean, the middle of the country is like nothing.
What if I told you that Europe can fit into Alaska? How would you feel about that?
I mean, I know that's accurate, but also that's still kind of insane.
What if I also told you that Alaska is a third of the United States?
That also doesn't... That one upsets me.
Alaska's big.
It is big, but the population is like 10 people. I'm just kidding. It's more than that, but it's still not that much.
It's very tiny. It's very tiny. So we know that Amazon announced the Rings of Power TV series, but, you know, we just had a quick trailer. We didn't really get an idea of what the show is going to be about, besides the Rings of Power. But now we officially know that it's focusing on the actual Rings of Power, as the movie posters have come out, and it shows the hands of all the different ring bearers from the franchise. So, you know, all the different elves, the men, the dwarves. So I'm excited, I think. And they've been announcing some of the casting who will be playing the different people. To me, it sounds like the show is going to be about Saruman. I think it's going to be about Saruman taking the Rings of Power.
Or just taking them in general.
Yeah. Or them getting made. I don't know. So it's in a fit between Shadow of Mordor
and
the first Lord of the Rings Fellowship.
Right. Right.
It's going to be somewhere in there. Which I think
interesting.
Which I think is sweet. I'm here for
it. I think that's cool. I would love to have this more played out. Like, we have a bunch of media. Obviously, we have the movies and then we have The Hobbit. But we need something else.
Well, we're going to have a dwarf queen. We're going to get to see what a female dwarf looks like.
That's going to be interesting.
Also, she's African-American. Well, I mean, the actress is.
Right.
So that will also be a new type of dwarf that we have not ever seen on screen either. Because traditionally, dwarves are always like
mountainy white, yeah, pale from being in caves and stuff. White.
Which some other franchises have alluded to dwarves of, you know, other races and skin colors.
Like, but the thing is, dwarves, like, I feel like they would be like darker. I mean, I know they're like cave dwelling ish.
It'd be the other way around, because they're so underground, they're so sun deprived. They live in their mountain. It would be the same as drow, which are, you know, just pale elves because they live underground in the underdark.
Yeah, I know, but there's like a lot of I don't know. I feel like they're like so in nature and inside that stuff. I don't know. Either way.
Yeah. It's interesting. But we've also eat?
How do you get sunlight to grow things?
I mean, they grow things outside. Like exactly. And they do go outside.
See, that's what I'm saying, is I feel like they would be like working a lot outside since they are in the mountain. And if you're at high altitude, that will burn you more. Like the sun, there's not a lot of protection. So I feel like you would be darker. I'm using too much science in this one. We should have a podcast about debating the science of like science fiction.
Yeah, and fantasy.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun one.
That'd be heated. I love that.
Yeah. Nintendo has stated they are very cautious about NFTs and metaverse. They have stated they are interested because they feel there is potential in this area. However, NFTs and metaverse do not resonate with Nintendo's core values at the moment. And so if they do not resonate with their core values, Nintendo is not going to do anything with them yet. The key thing is, they said they don't know how to provide joy to their consumers with NFTs and metaverse.
Oh my God. They are just like they're so good.
So they see the potential, but they state that as of right now, they don't see any potential in them fitting in.
I see potential in this making a lot of money for a lot of people. I don't think it should be in video games, but also, there's way more room for toxicity and just like people getting abused in this situation.
And Nintendo even went on to say like they are more interested in the concept of a metaverse because that fits more in line with some of the things they already have, such as Animal Crossing, which is, you know, in a way it's similar to that because you have your own islands, you interact with people, you're building your own world. So I can see how that concept is more in line with them, but at the same time, they are still sticking to their core values. So until these align with their core values, they're not going to move forward.
I don't think it ever can. Like a unique item that is sold as currency and is only valuable.
NFTs have no value. They're just a money grab and they will be gone forever soon. Same with crypto. Crypto seems to be headed that way very fast as well. But NFTs, most definitely. The concept of the metaverse, I hate calling it the metaverse.
I hate the word so freaking much.
Because it's coined by Facebook. The concept of this online digital space is far more appealing and far more practical.
Correct.
If executed properly. And I think if anyone was to successfully execute it, it would be Nintendo.
I think they would do the best job because, as they said it, they won't do anything that doesn't provide joy to their customers.
And it would be very well-rounded, too. They will have, they are a wholesome company. They address a lot of those issues. They don't tolerate a lot of that negativity, that toxicity. So I do think they would be the best ones to execute that.
I would like them to be in charge of it. They could go so south in the hands of something else.
Anyone else. It would just go poorly.
Yeah.
Microsoft, they're more iffy. Even Sony, a bit iffy. They could go either way.
I feel Sony won't be as bad. It is a Japanese-based game. You know what I mean?
I just feel but Sony wouldn't be able to execute it as well as Microsoft would.
I think Sony would be good as far as morals go, but yeah, as far as execution goes, I don't think that they would have the capacity at like putting it out very well because they're not really like hardware, like, you know, software based.
Yeah. Yeah. They've always been more game driven and not networks and hardware driven.
They are great at storytelling and making like these amazing things. But as far as like hardcore programming and like systems go, not their thing.
Yeah. And lastly, Amazon has announced they'll be increasing their price of Amazon Prime from $119 to $139. This goes into effect this month. I'm not happy about it because Amazon's making an F ton of money and they are effing over a lot of people. And then now they're going to charge me more. Like, ugh.
I mean, I want to say I don't like it. But
it's not like demand. They're still pulling in like $6 billion in profit.
I understand that, but everyone has Prime, and it's like next day service to everyone, and it's difficult for Amazon to keep it going because like obviously it's a lot of work and pressure that they put on their employees. I understand raising it. I mean, they're not doing it to help their workers. They're doing it because they want more money.
$6 billion in profit as is right now.
That's insane.
And
then don't buy Amazon Prime.
And then they're going to raise their price. They're not changing anything else. They're still doing all the same things. They're not offering additional features.
You know supply and demand.
They're just.
Disney has not changed a thing about their park, but their prices have increased substantially.
The demand is out of control, too. They've added a couple things, but yeah, it's too expensive to go now. Like, it's
an arm and a leg, which I understand because that park gets so packed and it makes it like impossible to be enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know how people can do it anymore. Like, how are people taking their whole families on a week long trip to like Disneyland? That's insane.
Like, you're spending grands. Like, you could just go to Europe. Like, you could just go somewhere else.
It used to be so much cheaper, even with, you know, like the less, you know, income or the decreased inflation or whatever it was back then. It used to just be so much cheaper in general.
I remember freaking out when it was like $150 or $170 per person to get in. And I was like, that's too expensive.
Yeah, that's what it is like right now. It used to be like $100.
Crazy.
Like 10 years ago. Passes, like a full year, like deluxe pass with included parking, like no blackout dates, basically, was like $400. Now that's like $1,000.
Crazy.
And you have to do the reservations, and they have more blackouts than ever on a lot of their passes. Like the California pass, you can't go weekends. Friday through Sunday, you can't go. Summer, you can't go.
That seems so dumb.
Holidays, you can't go. And it's $300. Can only go Monday through Thursday, basically.
That's so dumb.
Right? Anyway, tangents aside, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We will be back with you guys next week with a fresh new episode, talking about some of the new games and the new Magic the Gathering stuffs. So we will see you all.
I'm so glad my mic didn't pick that up. I just screeched like a harpy.
I wonder if it picks it up in the recording, even if I don't hear it.
I mean, I don't know.
But that will do it for this week. Good luck. Have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Ridiculous.
Ahoy there, ye landlubbers. Avast. My name is Captain Logan, and I'll be your guide out on the Sea of Thieves. If you love the idea of stealing treasure, cutting down cursed skeletons, fighting off krakens, and raiding forts filled to the brim with shinies, then Sea of Thieves is the game for you. Join me each week as I dive into the news and bring back the nuggets of information that any sailor worth their weight in salt would desire. You don't have to be a pirate legend to gain access to my podcast. Just search for Keelhauled, a Sea of Thieves podcast in your podcast app of choice, or head over to robotsradio.net or captainlogan.podbeam.com and get ready to set sail for adventure. Arr.
Hey Guardians, we are the Destiny Show Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things Destiny 2. We invite amazing guests from the Destiny community to share their stories and discuss the latest topics from the world of Destiny. Check us out on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or live on Twitch every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will see you, Starside.